Okay, so my name is Jamie McCacken. I'm 18 years old. Today is May 23rd, 2018. I'm speaking with my dad, and we are in Richmond, Virginia. And Dad, can you say your name?
My name's Dave McCacken, and I'm 56 years old, and we're in the suburb outside of Richmond, Virginia.
Okay. So I guess first question, can you tell me a little bit about your childhood and what were you like as a kid?
I was child number 8 out of 10. Grew up in Kalamazoo, Michigan. And as a child, I was very shy, and sports were a big outlet for me to express myself.
So what sport was your favorite? Was it just any sports in general?
Early on, it was any and all sports. As I got older, I zeroed in on basketball.
Why did you like basketball?
It was indoors, and because there's a cold climate, we could play year-round.
Oh, that's true.
And it was not as prone to physical injury as football. And it was baseball was too slow-paced.
Okay, cool. That works. Okay. So can you tell me about your grandparents or great-grandparents, if you remember them? We haven't really talked about them before, so it might be interesting.
I was one of the last children in the big family. By the time I was born, all of my grandparents were dead, so I don't have any memory.
Do you have any, like, family stories or anything of them that you know about, or, like,
nothing really to speak of.
Really?
Yeah, nothing really.
That's interesting. That's almost kind of like your parents with me, since I never really knew them, right? Since I was just the age difference, just yeah, didn't really line up, so it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so this one's a little bit deeper. Of the people that you've lost in your life, who do you miss the most, and what is it about them that you miss?
Well, I haven't lost that many other than my two parents.
Mm-hmm.
Who do I miss the most? I guess I miss my father the most because he lived till he was in his early 80s, so I had more of a relationship with him. Because my mom got sick when she got sick with Alzheimer's when she was in her early 60s. And
so how old were you when she got sick first?
18.
Yeah.
20 years old. So my relationship with her ended when I was 18 or 20, you know, 19, 20. Then it continued with my father.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess I'm fortunate I haven't really had, I've only lost two parents.
Yeah.
I've only had two deaths in the family, so to speak. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so what are you proudest of personally and professionally in your life?
I'm proudest of moving away from my family and striking it out on my own in Virginia, and come hell or high water, taking care of myself.
That's good.
You know, and I'm very proud of my wife and my kids and my life here in Virginia. And I did it all myself.
Yeah. That's very true.
Because when I was 18, I was offered a firm handshake. Good luck out there, kid. You'll do good if you work really hard, if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Yeah, and you're really making an effort to do the opposite of that.
Yeah.
With me.
Yeah.
And Sean too.
Yeah, because I know what it was like for me to feel like, holy cow. Got the ending point needs to be here, and I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
With no head start.
Right.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, you know. I may end up driving a garbage truck when I'm 65, but at least I will have I will have avoided being homeless.
Right. I mean, that's true.
You know?
Yeah. And I guess you could say that, like, independence has been a main, like, theme. Right. And, like, that you've been, I guess when you were 18, it was almost kind of, like, forced independence. But yeah. So I remember you saying that you, before you came to Virginia, you went to was it like a Catholic university?
Catholic college up there.
In Michigan?
In Kalamazoo, yeah.
So maybe tell me about that, because I don't really know that much about that.
I was relatively good at basketball when mm-hmm. I was in high school, and there was a small private Catholic school that expressed interest in me playing on their basketball team. So I didn't know what, you know, I didn't know really. Academically, I wasn't very focused, wasn't very aware, but hey, it's college, and I can play on their basketball mm-hmm. team. So I did that for a couple of years, like a year and a half, and then I realized, wait a minute, I'm going to be borrowing a bunch of money for student loans, and I'm going to end up with a degree. So I kind of put a stop to that and just got a job for a shoe store,
mm-hmm.
just because they were close to the college. And then they had a job traveling around as an auditor, for auditing various shoe stores. And the position was in the Mid-Atlantic, and Richmond, Virginia was the center of the territory.
Mm-hmm.
So I just picked up and just moved to Virginia, rented a room in a house.
And this was before you could, like, you probably, had you rented before
nothing.
You came? You just kind of, like,
cold turkey.
Wow. So, like, now I guess, you know, like, I'm used to, before I do anything, you know, go anywhere. Like, even before I go into Richmond going to lunch, you know, like, I'll look up places on Yelp and, you know, look up reviews and try to get an idea of, like, the general, even atmosphere, pictures of what it looks like inside. And you didn't have any of that for your... For, like, rooms or anything, or Richmond in general?
No, I didn't really know anything about it. I just knew that there was nothing for me up there.
Right.
And there was bad economy,
mm-hmm.
a big economic recession. Up there, it's a big, the automobile industry was really suffering. It was really economic woe.
Right.
So I knew it was a steady job, and all I had to do was come down here, do the job. I rented a room in a house, you know, a house like this, and had one of the bedrooms. It was a MCV college dental student.
Right.
Bought the house.
Oh.
And was renting it out.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big house, and she was subsidizing the ownership of the house by renting a room. One room's to Dave, one room's to Chris, one room's to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, It was kind of a neat adventure, because I was away from Michigan in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and I really kind of quickly realized the history of Richmond is really cool, and you know, 2 hours from the ocean, 2 hours from the mountain, 2 hours from Washington D.C.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty cool. It was kind of a big adventure, and had a company car and. My job consisted of going from small Virginia town to small Virginia town, go to the shoe store and supervise a crew to physically count everything that was there of each of the individual styles of shoes.
Right.
Submit it to the corporate.
So it wasn't like, you know, you were only doing your job when you were actually at the place, and
yeah.
Otherwise you just kind of, do you feel like you had like the traditional, like young adult, you know, out on the world kind of experience, or?
Well, I was home on the weekend.
Right.
And there was a guy that lived, he rented a room, he was from Illinois.
Mm-hmm. So you both kind of Midwestern transplants.
He was renting a room in the house.
Right.
We ended up buddying up, and then moved out of the house and rented an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in the apartment, that's where you're kind of doing the yuppie thing.
Right.
You know, had a swimming pool, had a balcony, you know,
uh-huh.
and had a bunch of young people. And the first time around the circuit with the job was interesting.
Right.
You know, the second time around, it was starting to get old. So I had been saving my money, and I resigned before I had to do the third trip.
The third trip, yeah.
And then I said, I knew in Michigan I had worked high school jobs, washing dishes at a restaurant. I knew young yuppies, young people, young 18, 20-somethings were there working as waiters, supporting themselves going to college. So I said, all right, well, I'll go to VCU and I'll wait tables in a restaurant.
Yeah. Why did you want to go to college? Was it just kind of like a thing to do? Did you want to like...
Well, you know, it's the stereotypical go get a college degree and then you're eligible for a job. And, you know, that kind of a thing. I was definitely had a work ethic to try to better myself.
Right.
You know, and at the apartment complex, that's where I got into a group of people. That's where I met your mother.
Right. So it comes full circle.
Yeah. So she and I both concluded, hey, let's put ourselves through college. And, you know, in the restaurant industry, you can make, if you're a good wait person, you can make a lot of money in a short amount of time.
Right.
So that was the strategy.
It seemed like it worked.
Yeah. Worked a little too well for me. I ended up taking 10 years to finish college and waiting tables a lot.
But, I mean, I always forget that you guys were, like, you know, like, young adults living in the fan in the 80s and stuff. And sometimes you'll, like, when you've taken me and Sean to, like, the few times to, like, Strawberry Street Cafe or whatever in Richmond, and you guys be like, oh, I remember this street. Like, it always takes me aback because we're not in Richmond very much. But, like, do you feel like you had, like, a good experience?
Oh, just kind of, like... That was a big adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I fell madly in love with your mom in a very, within days of meeting her, and it was a big adventure.
Yeah.
It was great. In the fan, going to college, waiting tables, hanging out with friends. It was a big adventure.
Yeah, and doing it all on your own. Were you, like, interacting with your family a lot back then, or is it just totally cut off?
Yeah, it's pretty much cut off.
Was it, like, you not reaching out to them, or just kind of mutual?
Kind of mutual.
Right.
And it's not like I really had any bad words with any one person.
Just kind of like, it's probably easier to let things fade
than
now.
You know, I went through, once I realized the workload ahead of me, with nobody saying, hey, we'll give you money toward college, and, you know, I did go through a period of anger. It's like...
Right.
And, I'm pretty sure my brothers and sisters are aware that I was not happy with how my parents had basically just created children and brought them into the world and said, you're on your own.
Right.
And I had expressed displeasure with, you know, what kind of a hillbilly thing is that to do?
Yeah.
And then some of the brothers and sisters were like, oh, you can't talk about your parents like that.
Right.
I said, well, I mean, I guess they were doing their best, but what the hell, kind of a...
Yeah.
What do you, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. It is weird to think about it. Like, I can't imagine, like, having 9 siblings, like...
You get lost in a crowd.
Yeah, like, I mean, poor Sean... He's going to have the opposite effect next year. Like, when I was driving him home from school one day, he just had that realization, oh my gosh, I'm going to have both mom and dad's attention all focused on me. He's going to be an only child.
That's right.
In a couple months. So it's going to be, like, the complete opposite.
I got 2 years to whip him into shape.
Yeah. Because I know that mom had, you know, she had 5 kids in her family, and you had 10. So you both were coming from big families. So I can imagine that it was probably... really crazy and
well, the parents end up being overwhelmed and just kind of getting like a racehorse with blinders,
right?
And then not having, not noticing what a child might have needs.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore not acting on it.
Right. And a shy youngest child, maybe they're not going to pick up on stuff.
Right. Right. You know, by the time I came along, the older kids were baby boomer hippies.
Mm-hmm.
Sex, drugs, rock and roll. My parents were pretty burned out.
Right.
By the time I was turning 18, they were like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I love you, kid, but whatever.
Yeah, because I remember when I went up to in July to see them. Hadn't seen them in a long time. And I can't remember her name because there were a lot of aunts and uncles. But aunt, I think your eldest sister, is it Aunt Mary?
Mary.
Yeah. She told me a story about, because she got married at 18, right? Like
right.
pretty young.
Yeah.
And she said that someone asked her at her wedding when she was going to start having kids. And she said, when my mom stops having kids. Because grandma was pregnant with
the youngest kid.
Yeah. At the time, so I heard that and I was like, wow, like it's one thing to hear like 10 kids in a family all like, what is that, like Irish twins, isn't that what it's called?
Yeah,
like a year apart or so,
a year apart, yeah.
But like to hear like, you know, someone my age, one, getting married, and two, like I can't imagine mom being pregnant while I'm going off to college. Like,
and my parents were horribly disappointed with her because she had gone to Michigan State, she loved animals, she was going to study to be a veterinarian.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing you know, she's getting married to this guy and then moving to Texas because he had a job.
Right. No, yeah.
And so, I mean, my older brothers and sisters really did what I perceived to be some kooky things.
Yeah.
And really illogical, kooky things, and really got my parents all bent out of shape.
Yeah, and then by the time you came along,
they were like, whatever, you kids are crazy.
Yeah. You know? So, yeah, at that point, I can totally understand wanting to just make your own life.
Because Mary got married and, mm-hmm. and dropped out of Michigan State.
Right, right.
And then ended up getting divorced
mm-hmm.
from the guy.
Catholic divorce. Oh, my.
Well, yeah. He wasn't Catholic to start with.
Ooh.
And then she never had a career. She's been driving school buses and,
right.
and doing odd jobs
mm-hmm.
ever since.
Mm-hmm.
My parents are like, what the hell? We put you through Catholic school and college preparatory. You got into Michigan State.
Right. All for nothing.
And then you just, you know. So, I mean, I guess I can understand where my parents are coming from. I mean, life is hard. Life is hard.
Yeah.
But that's why I just kind of stay out here in Virginia. Just, they still interact with each other, and they kind of seem to all,
mm-hmm.
their orbits all seem to interact.
Yeah.
And I'm out here and just let them be.
Well, that kind of brings up another thing. How do you feel about Angeline coming for my graduation?
It'll be nice.
Yeah.
But I mean, she was one of the ones where I was saying, because she's one of the younger ones like
mm-hmm.
me. Our upbringing was hillbilly and the, you know, blah, 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 blah. This is bullshit, blah, 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 blah. And she was like, oh, you can't say that. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and so there was some
strife
between
right.
her and me.
Right.
You know, and I mean, I feel like my parents did a crummy job raising their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Dave, you can't say that. Were their intentions good? Yes.
Yeah.
They did the best they could.
Mm-hmm.
But they did a crummy job. It's
right.
like, it's like the it's like the 19th century trying to interact in the 20th century.
Yeah.
It's like, the intentions are good, the work ethic is good, personal behavior is good, but it just
doesn't meet.
Just like Martians living on the planet,
mm-hmm.
on Earth. You know, you create 10 children, and you know, their thought was, I'll I'll create these children. I send them to the Catholic schools. The Catholic schools will indoctrinate them and educate them, and then poof, they go off into the world.
Right.
And piece of cake. Mm-hmm. I think my dad was extremely high IQ, extremely proficient. So he really couldn't understand if one of his kids didn't just, you know, explode out into the world.
Right.
Because he was, he could type 200 words a minute. He, mm-hmm. He was in the railroad. He was doing telegraph. He could, he knew Morse code in several different languages.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole nine yards.
Wow.
So he really didn't understand why. Because he asked me one day, why, how come my kids aren't doctors and lawyers and professions, you know? And at that point, I was like, I don't know. I'm waiting tables trying to put myself through college.
Right, yeah. I mean, at the point, it's unfair of him to ask you.
Yeah, but he honestly, genuinely...
He just didn't know.
Didn't understand.
Right.
You know. And,
I guess, yeah, because he was... I guess he was doing what his parents did, which is, you know, like he came back, he was in World War II, right?
Right.
He came back from the war, and you're supposed to get married with a nice girl and have right. In his case, lots of kids, and then let the kids, you know, like you said, go to Catholic school. And I guess his parents probably did that with him. And
yeah, but his parents were dirt poor farmers.
Right.
No electricity, no plumbing.
Mm-hmm.
And then... He got a job working for the railroad, which was a great job.
Mm-hmm.
Before World War II.
Mm-hmm.
During World War II, he knew Morse code from the railroad. So he did that during the war. Came back from the war. Chose not to do the GI Bill to get a free college degree. Went back to the railroad.
Because
mm-hmm. at that point, it was
a done deal.
It was a really good job.
Right.
He worked 40 years for the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
His wife worked at the home, but she didn't work out. You know, she didn't do a quote-unquote job.
Right.
And then the railroad has a pretty good extra bonus on Social Security, so he had a pretty decent retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked. The whole scenario worked great for him.
Right.
But as far as...
But he didn't have anything set aside for his kids or anything.
Bingo.
Right.
But his thought was, well, you know, you're healthy, you're intelligent, make it happen.
Right. But he came onto the world in a different place than you did. Like right. You're talking about with, like, just the jobs weren't there in Michigan.
Yeah, when it was time for me to, I mean, I could borrow a bunch of money and go to school in Michigan right. And then... I guess if I had put my emphasis on academics rather than sports, then maybe I would have been prepared to go to college and actually succeed at the classes and then get out and then have a 4-year degree and then go to work for somebody.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really ready to study. I had to teach myself how to study. And, you know, it was kind of the whole thing was like, well, you know, and even if I did study and did come out with a 4-year degree, I was still going to have a bunch of student loans.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was going to have to try to get a job.
Right.
And I was going to have to buy a car, make car payments, make student loan payments, make apartment payments, mm-hmm. and just kind of get into the rat race.
Yeah.
I was like, well.
Yeah.
That's kind of, you know, kind of overwhelming. So it was like, all right, well. We'll put the plan on hold. I'll go to Virginia and just work this job.
Mm-hmm. And, like, when you were, like, thinking about Virginia and all of that, like, what did you expect? Like, what were you thinking about even just, like, the state of Virginia?
Like, I like the idea of starting over, starting mm-hmm. fresh, clean slate.
Right.
My own identity. I'm not part of this giant family with all these opinionated people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just... Starting fresh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you remember the saying, go west, young man, you know, from mm-hmm. the frontier days, go out west. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of like what I was doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Manifest destiny.
Yeah, I'm just going, man. I'm going someplace to be on my own and start completely from scratch.
Yeah. That's nice. I think kind of everyone, for the most part, wants to do that.
Right.
Yeah. So it's... But...
Yeah.
I can imagine. Is there, like... When you, like you were saying, you wanted to be, like, have a different identity than part of, like, this opinionated family, did the McCacken family have, like,
a reputation
or anything?
Not per se. Not so much.
Just kind of...
But just going to Thanksgiving dinner, you know,
mm-hmm.
just part of this giant family. Yeah. Same people saying the same things
over and over again.
That they were saying last year and the year before.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, well, hell, I've been here. I've done this.
Right.
You know, I've got nothing to lose. Let me just get out of town. Mm-hmm. I know I've got a job. Do the job, save my money. You know, while I was doing the job, I was saving my money. So when it was time to quit the job, rent an apartment, I had some money saved up
mm-hmm.
to pay tuition,
right.
VCU, and, you know, and then at that point, it was just...
kind of going on from there.
A big adventure.
Right.
The weather was nice. The architecture was nice. The climate was strong. I met your mother. It was great.
Yeah.
Life was wonderful.
I can imagine Michigan winters are a lot less, or Virginia winters are a lot less hard to handle winters.
Autumn in Michigan is
mm-hmm.
starts early and lasts long. Spring comes late.
Mm-hmm.
And then the weather is just a big part of, and you know, it's cloudy. In Virginia, the sun is shining, even
mm-hmm.
even in the wintertime, even when it's cold, the sun shines. Up there, you've got the Great Lakes, you got all that moisture from the Great Lakes up in the atmosphere, and it mm-hmm. just makes it cloudy all the time in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, coming down here, meeting your mom, you know, it was wonderful. Best thing that ever happened to me was meeting her, and it was a young, in love, lots of action, lots of good climate,
mm-hmm.
money. You know, hey, it's wonderful.
Yeah, sounds nice. So kind of, I guess, combining your stories about your parents and then, like, meeting mom and starting life,
my phone is now doing this.
Yeah. I'll wait till.
No,
but
okay.
So when you first had me and Sean, how has being a parent changed you, do you think?
How has it changed me?
Or has it changed you even?
I don't think it really changed me. It was part of the big adventure.
Right.
It was just another chapter. It's like, all right, this is great. Let's do it. But it has kind of changed me in the sense of try to not create, not repeat the mistakes of the past.
Right.
Try to do the parenting thing with you guys better than my parents did with me.
Right. And do you feel like you're kind of like writing how to be a parent new for you? Do you feel like you didn't have an example, so you're starting from scratch, or did you kind of have a general idea, or has it just kind of like come naturally?
Like, I mean, my dad was always friendly,
right?
But he never expressed an opinion, never really had a conversation about anything. So I'm specifically going out of my way to be friendly and engage you guys in political conversations and, you know, try to give you guys a big picture shot in the arm, so to speak, about what's happening. Because my dad, I don't know why, but maybe the older kids gave him such a hard time if he spoke his mind that he just mm-hmm. stopped.
Right.
You know, but I'm trying to do, I mean, I mean, they were, my parents had good behavior, good work ethic, mm-hmm. well behaved, and good personal behavior. So try to keep that example, but at the same time, not be such a 19th century person.
Right.
Try to be a 20th century person. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And talk with you guys about what's happening in the 20th century.
Or even the 21st century.
And now the 21st. Yeah, you know. And, you know, at the same time, you got to keep the career going. You got to keep making a living. You still got to plan for retirement. You got to mm-hmm. plan, try to have some money set aside to help the kids go to college. I mean, it's kind of a treadmill. It's kind of a tightrope.
Right.
You know, and you have good luck, you have bad luck, mm-hmm. and in the long run, you just hope. All you can do is do your best. Mm-hmm. But yeah, having you guys, I didn't want to. It's like I don't go home because I don't want to go to the scene of the crime, so to speak. Joanne hates it when I say that. I don't want to go back to the scene of the crime, but I've been working really hard to not have Midlothian be the scene of the crime mm-hmm. for you guys.
Yeah.
Whether it is or not, I mean.
No, I don't think it hasn't been.
So far, so good.
So far, so good, yeah.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
I think you guys are really lucky that you. We got lucky. Midlothian seems to be a really good place to raise kids. And you and Sean both have real good genetics, real good high IQ, and you have a really strong work ethic. And that's, you know, so I mean, life is a combination of hard work and luck.
Right.
You know, and all you can do is just be thankful for the luck and keep working hard.
yeah, no, I understand that now, yeah. Definitely. I feel like I've gotten pretty lucky.
Yeah, I think you were dealt you were given a good gene pool between the Ruffs and the McEachin. I mean, some of my brothers and some of the McEachin side of the family are severely high IQs and severely capable. And mm-hmm. You know, your mom's side of the family definitely also. Mm-hmm. And so I mean, as far as raising you guys, it's been a nice adventure. You know, you guys were great when you were little.
So, I guess our last question kind of ties in with that, too. But what are your wishes for me and for Sean going on?
What I mostly just to have, you know, I don't have any specific. She needs to be the president of the Washington Post. Just really just want you guys to feel happy and fulfilled and feeling like life is worth living.
Yeah, that's good.
Whatever that is.
Right.
Whatever, you know, if I don't want you to be you don't have to have a huge title career wise. Mm-hmm. Just as long as you're happy and content.
Right. That'll be good. Yeah. I hope I can get to there too. That sounds pretty good.
And some understanding of why we're here. Because you know I'm real big on politics and religion. Mm-hmm. Still haven't figured out the religion part. I still haven't figured out why the hell we're even here. Which you know. The real religious people would say, oh, you can't say that. God, you're going to hurt God's feelings. You know, but they don't really know.
Right. No one really knows at all.
So have to some sort of inner peace understanding mm-hmm. that you don't really know.
Yeah.
And just, you know, just live a peaceful life.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
And there will be times where your peace is up here and then down here and then up. And it's not going to be as you go through life, you're going to have ups and downs. One thing I worry about is we're so isolated here that you and Sean really don't have family to fall back on.
Yeah.
But you have cousins and aunts and uncles. You know, if your mom and I got hit by a train tomorrow, you and Sean could go to them, and they would welcome you into the family.
Yeah, that's nice. That's always, I remember, like, when I was a kid, just, like, going through, like, disaster scenarios in my head of being, like, well, because one, I remember, I don't know what this conversation was talking about, but I somehow got the concept of, like, godparent in my head, and right. I was wondering about that, because I, you know, like, you know, me and Sean were ever baptized or never,
right.
Which I honestly like, but, like, that, the whole, like, godparent thing was, like, a thing in the church, I'm pretty sure,
right.
But, like, I was talking to Mom about it one day, and she said, oh, well, I guess your Aunt Lori is your godparent, because that's who takes care of you when, if something happens to me or your dad. And I was kind of, like...
Well, we don't have a will. That's the one thing. Part of the strategy of me quitting this job
mm-hmm.
is to give me time to work with a financial planner
mm-hmm.
and create a will and the whole nine yards. And it, you're over 18, so you would be on your own. Theoretically, if you
right.
were young, we would designate a family member.
Right.
And, you know, I'm trying to think if we did hit by a train, if we did get hit by a train, if I was going to leave a letter for you to find,
mm-hmm.
would I say go to the McEachins or go to the Ruffs?
Right.
And at this point in time, I would say, you know, search out my brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Lori is very sensible.
Mm-hmm.
Sherry's kind of
yeah.
Tim is kind of distant.
Yeah, and he's got young kids.
Yeah. Cindy was very competent, but she's also kind of extreme.
Yeah.
Versus my brothers and sisters, I mean, they've
raised adult children, or they don't
right.
have any kids.
Right. And there's so many of them. You
yeah.
know, so go to them and just say, hey, you know, this is where I stand. They would take you in,
mm-hmm.
and you would have an extended family like that.
Yeah.
And,
yeah. Because it is interesting, because I've always, like, known intellectually, oh, yeah, I have, like, a big family on my dad's side. But I've never had, like, the, like, you know, Thanksgiving or, like, the, any of the, like, actually, like you said, like,
the
big extended family thing.
Yeah, you know, for me, I've never really striven for the big family interaction because when I was up there having it...
Mm-hmm. It wasn't that great.
It was also a really terrible time in my life because
mm-hmm.
I was realizing, wait a minute, I've got to go out into the world and I've got... Not only do I not have my parents helping me financially, but none of my parents came to me and said, Dave, you're really good at sports, but you're a white Scottish person. Ixnay on Ortsbe.
Right.
You're never going to be a professional this and that. Or they should have gone to me and said, Dave, the only sport that you have a snowball's chance of being a professional in is baseball.
Right.
Because I'm big enough and I could have been probably a professional baseball player if I had. So, but nobody ever did that.
Right.
So I'm up there. So
you have no guidance.
So I go from being a child, a carefree child, to an adolescent realizing... You know, wait a minute, the lights are finally dawning on me. It's like, wait a minute, I'm so screwed.
Right. So did you have, like, a lot of, do you remember just having a lot of dread?
Yeah,
of, like,
dread, terror, like,
turning
oh my
18.
God, fish out of water.
Right.
I'm just kind of having to switch over from AM to FM just like that. It's like,
right.
Oh my God, I'm starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
High school graduation, I was like, all right, now I'm starting from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
No momentum, no pre-planning. So I was up there with all those people. I was like,
mm-hmm.
on the one hand, I was mad at myself.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it's like,
nobody told
people
you.
People are all a bunch of fucking idiots. How could you be? you know, and with my parents, it's like, what the hell were you thinking? You know, and but I was half of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, I'm like Sean. Sean is zeroing in on that computer.
Mm-hmm.
It could easily be a sport.
Mm-hmm.
In which case, he'd focus on it so much that he would really excel at the sport.
Right.
But he doesn't know anything about anything else in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, he's zeroing in on something that is 21st century.
Yeah.
So for me to go back and interact with those people brings me back to that frame of mind.
Right, which makes sense.
It's like, why should I? I don't get fired up about going to do that.
Right.
Yeah. Like, stay out here. Stay in Virginia. This is my world. I created my world.
Yeah.
My creation. My.
Your home turf.
My home turf.
Yeah.
If they want to come to my turf.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I had an Uncle Doug, my mom's brother. And we only saw him once every 10 years or so. Mm-hmm. He wasn't mean. He wasn't a jerk. When he went to talk to him, he didn't punch you in the nose. But it was like,
mm-hmm.
This is my house. This is my town. I'm staying here.
Right.
I ain't going. I'm not traveling.
Yeah.
So to some extent, I suspect I have some of that genetic thing also. But at the same time, it's like, why do I want to go back to the scene of the crime?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I am in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God I met your mother. She saved my life. You know, definitely figuratively, but you never know.
Yeah.
Maybe literally.
I guess she was kind of like the anchor that was...
Yeah, she was. You. And, you know, we fell in love, motivated, we enjoyed each other's company, and she was hardworking, I was hardworking,
mm-hmm.
We're building a life together. We were young and, you know, just living a big adventure. It was really cool. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that was my last question, so.
Yeah.
Good.
I'm mostly telling you, not that thing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, that was perfect. Yeah.
I don't know about having that available to the whole world.
Yeah, well.
But it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. All done.
Your mom's probably green with